God and the knowledge of God. Well, God wants us to grow up. It's not hard to grow up. It's natural to grow in the Spirit of God. It is natural. See, if I was just left alone in the glory of God, I'd grow. I'm going to talk to you about hindrance to spiritual growth. And I'm going to show you three things and three areas where there is hindrance to spiritual growth. In three areas where I don't care how spirit you may act, you ain't growing up. But you got to know where your adversary, the adversary, the devil, will come at you. And you can grow. Because we need to grow up, church. And believers need to know how to look out. And I saw something in the Word of God tonight. And I'm going to share it with you. Jesus is our example. So many times we can get so guru-ish and weird that we get out beyond the Bible. We can get so guru-ish and bizarre that we get out beyond the Bible. And if we're not careful, our out there stuff, there'll be no example in Scripture to match our outside stuff. What you see me do, you should see in the Bible. Guess what? If what I do, you can't find it in the Word of God, guess what? It's not God. He'll give us examples how the Holy Ghost will flow. Don't trust anything that doesn't come outside of the Word. Amen? Just because it appears to be mystic. God is supernatural. He will always be supernatural. And great and mighty things will always happen. But great and mighty things must always happen inside of the Word. What do I mean by inside the Word? That means that my manifestations, or that my lifestyle, that the fruit of my lips must also match my so-called spirituality. That's why Jesus said, you know them by their fruit. So we're going to teach you some things if you want to know. You know the Holy Ghost is powerful. And he's strong. And we can catch some stuff. You can be in tune to the Spirit of the Holy Ghost. But then again, we can be influenced by familiar spirits and not know it. Uh-oh. Don't you know the enemy can get out there? Don't you know when you hear God, you can hear other stuff? How do you know whether it's God or not? What is it producing? And what is it doing? What you're finding out and what you're perceiving, what is it doing? And where is it in the Bible? Not unless it's a new thing. I'll find it in the Word. But it might not be in the same area that you might be looking in. So I'm going to slay a couple things tonight in Jesus' name. First thing that you need to check out is in Matthew chapter 3. Verse 16. Dealing with your first enemy to growth in Christ. And people think it just finishes right here. And we see why believers never come to maturity and why they get knocked off. Because they think when you get saved, you get baptized, you're on easy street. You've got it made. You just made it in at that point. Well, don't you know that's just only the beginning? The first enemy you're going to deal with in spiritual growth is yourself. The first enemy you're going to deal with in spiritual growth is yourself. Jesus dealt with himself first. And I'm going to use Matthew chapter 3, verse 16 to tell you about it. And Jesus, when he was baptized, went up straightway out of the water, and lo, the heavens were opened unto him, and he saw the Spirit of God, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lightning upon him. And lo, a voice came, said, this is my Son, my beloved Son, of whom I'm well pleased. We'll go a little bit farther back, okay? He said, I, in verse 11, is where I really want to go. I indeed baptized you with water unto repentance, but he that cometh after me is mightier than I, whose shoes am not worthy to bear. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire, whose fan is in his hand, and he will thoroughly purge his floor and gather his wheat into the garner, and he will burn up the chaff with unquenchable fire. Then cometh Jesus. Somebody say, then comes Jesus. From Galilee to Jordan, and unto John to be baptized. But John forbade him, saying, I have no need to be baptized of thee, and thou, he says, I have need to be baptized of thee, and thou come to me. And Jesus answered and said unto him, suffer it to be so now, for thus it becometh us to fulfill all righteousness. Then he suffered him. And Jesus, when he was baptized, went up straightway out of the water, and lo, the heavens were opened unto him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove. Basically, that's dealing with your first enemy. Baptism is the point where you crucify your flesh. When you decide that you're going to die to your own desires and to your own stuff, your enemy's destroyed. Anything that you're not willing to die to will become your spiritual enemy. I'm using Jesus as the example. They said that baptism was the beginning because it signified new life. It signified death and new life in Christ Jesus. Anybody trying to live their life in Christian-wise will not be able to do that. It will not work. I see it all the time. Then we got many churches growing up today. There are many churches, seeker-friendly churches. Everybody coming in, and they think, well, that's how we're going to get people to come to Jesus Christ and to get saved. We get them all in the church, and they all get there, but they don't want to take them to the water to be baptized. Not just physical water, but they don't want to tell them about the cross that they have to bear, that they must die, that Christ in them must live. And they base everything, it's backwards. They base everything on what the people want, what they want to hear, what's going to keep them, what's going to make them feel good, their family. Well, that's not Jesus. They'll have an enemy. Well, they won't get offended by the other things. They might not get offended by church people. Amen. So they'll be able to walk right because they won't get offended. The church won't do anything to offend them. The Holy Ghost won't do anything to offend them. But they got to realize that they keep the number one enemy alive. The number one enemy to the Christian faith is uncrucified flesh. Let me tell you what. When a person's through with life, they're going to go to Jesus and get it. Amen. Doesn't matter. When people are hungry, you're going to be like the man that climbed the tree to see Jesus. You'll get to Jesus when you have to and when you really want to. And when we Christians get to the point where we can demonstrate his love, his character, and his nature, then the world will want something of that. We say, well, why don't people come to church? Don't nobody want to be like you? Do you know that's the reason why people don't get saved and why the house is not filled? The bottom line to the thing, well, is this, is that? No, nobody wants to be like you. When you let God take total control of your life, the Holy Ghost take total control of your life, let me tell you what, you're going to hang around me for a little bit, you're going to want Jesus. You don't have to come to church. You don't have to come to church. If I live the life that Jesus called me to live and I got around a sinner for so long, that sinner is going to want Jesus or at least make a decision of where he's going to go and where he's not going to go. We all want to get this campaign going. We want to get that campaign going. I tell you what, why don't you just demonstrate Jesus Christ in your own self? The world is sick of so-called Christians, hypocrites. A hypocrite's a hypocrite. They can look at your mighty deeds. Pharaoh could work wonders. Pharaoh's magicians could work wonders. Signs and wonder is not a true sign. It's not going to win anybody. Those magicians could do the same thing We say, as long if we just prophesy, if I can prophesy real good and tell people what's going to happen, then they'll really come in because they'll really see how spiritual I am. No, they can call the 900 number and have somebody give them a word. But they can't live like Jesus. It's the life of Christ that brings them in. It's the life of Christ. Nothing less than the life of Christ. Well, no, it's the power of Christ. Well, the power of Christ causes you to live like Christ. To live like Jesus. To walk like Jesus. To talk like Jesus. The first enemy to spiritual growth is yourself. And many people, see, people want to blame other people for where they are. And for what they have. They want to blame the church. They want to blame the preacher. Not preaching right. Not praying long enough. Not doing all. No, your enemies. First enemy is you must be baptized. You got to make up your decision like we were praying tonight. We're crying. You know what? I don't want to live. But for him, earthly things no longer satisfy. Earthly things will get to the point to where they no longer satisfy. It's just knowing Jesus. Paul said that I might know him in the power of his resurrection. Glory to God. That's called death. You want to live, learn to die. You want to live, learn to die. So the first enemy, we're using this point right here, and Jesus demonstrated this when he was baptized. And when he became baptized, when he went into the water, he came out of the water, then God acknowledged him by the Holy Ghost coming in the form of the dove and descending over him. He received an open heaven. How many want an open heaven? How many want an open heaven? Crucified lifestyle brings an open heaven. Crucified lifestyle will bring an open heaven. Crucified lifestyle. You know how you know is your crucified lifestyle is not based on anybody else but yourself. It's between you and God. Can't nobody tell you where you are. Can't nobody look at what you're doing and tell you where you are. It's between you and Jesus. Nobody will know how crucified to Christ you are. It's a God thing. It's an inward thing. You don't know how much I love Jesus. You don't know how sincere I am. I don't know how sincere you are. See, we can look at people and judge them from the outward appearance, but God looks at the heart. Or we say, well, you don't talk like I do. You don't walk like I do. You don't act like I do. No, the issue is crucifixion. How much is that individual ready to die? We think, well, they haven't learned our culture. We can turn Christianity into culture. We can develop charismatic culture. Church culture, and they learn our culture to walk like us, to talk like us, to act like us. It's not based on that. It's based on how much do they know Jesus Christ. So the first enemy is yourself, and you can take that enemy out. Where do you take that enemy out at? Baptism. That's just a decision. That's just a decision. You just choose to walk that way. What does it take to walk that way? What does it take? Does it take? What will it take to get us to decide that it's Christ that should live in us and not we ourselves? Baptism. It should already be taken care of. Somebody says, well, I'm getting into this flow to give God more and to give God more. Well, you've already given him everything you can give him. Uh-oh. Uh-oh. We want to lessen death. Death is death. And life is life. First enemy is the enemy of yourself. And you deal with that enemy and don't let him stick his head up. And that started from the get-go. You want to get real spiritual, remember where you started and go back there. You want to get real spiritual, you want to get real godly, you want to get yourself together, you go back to where you started. Back to the bottom line to where you needed Jesus and Jesus came in, there where you died and he now lives. Second enemy you will face. Guess who he is? Second atrocious enemy that you will face to your Christian growth is the devil. Notice that after Jesus was baptized in the water, where did he go? He went into the wilderness, and he was tempted of the devil. The devil himself tempted him. The devil wanted to provide for him. The devil wanted to be his source. He didn't receive any of it. Everybody has got to learn about the demonic. And they got to know what's God and what's not God. The enemy. The devil. How many of you are right there right now? How many of you had confrontation with the enemy? The Bible says after the seed is sown, immediately the enemy comes at him to steal that word away. Immediately. There are spiritual principalities. You hear me? Spiritual principalities that come against people, that cause them not to grow in God. And we need to learn to discern when those spiritual principalities are in manifestation and break the yokes of those bondage. First enemy is what? What's the first enemy? Yourself. Second enemy is what? Which one's more important? Which one you got to watch out for the most? Yourself. I'm going to talk to you about your third and most deadly enemy that the Holy Ghost has revealed to me. The Holy Ghost has revealed this third enemy of hindrance. Hindrance to revival. Hindrance to the move of God. Now listen. After Jesus was baptized, he dealt with himself, even though he didn't have to. He set an example and dealt with himself. He said, look, even I need to change. If Jesus set the example that he got into the water, and when he got into the water, it means he changed his direction completely. Christianity will always change your direction. It will alter your life. In any area where you won't let Christianity or God alter your life, you have an enemy. One. Two, the enemy attacked Jesus in the wilderness, but Jesus overcame him with what? The word. The third enemy that Jesus dealt with, and this was a rough one. This was the rough one. This was a very persistent one. Remember Jesus said, if you're not with me, you're against me. Notice that all throughout Jesus' ministry, he had to deal with what? People. Others. Right? Your third enemy, others. 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 And people don't realize that. People say, well, look, I'm going to tell you what. Everybody wants to blame the devil. When stuff happens on the devil, well, there's a devil out there. There's a devil. There's a boogeyman in the bush. This is not going right. It's a boogeyman in the bush. A boogeyman over here. A boogeyman everywhere. A boogeyman. You got a boogeyman. I got a boogeyman. Amen? Listen. Let me tell you where your boogeyman is. You. And maybe the people you hang with and the things they do. Do you hear what I'm saying? Enemies. There are certain things that I know without a shadow of a doubt. It's not the devil. And it's not individual. It's just people that refuse to grow up. It's people, they're not demonic. No, they're not demonic. What? It's people that haven't dealt with their enemies. And people that didn't deal with their enemies, guess what? Will become the enemies to the cause of Christ. Uh-oh. That's what Jesus dealt with in the third phase of his ministry. That's what you call a Pharisee. What does it mean? It means that you can't stand against the devil until you have stood against yourself. What is an enemy of the cross? An enemy of the cross is someone that did not crucify themselves. So they are influenced by the enemy. And that person is much worse off. Because they think they've got it together. They look into a mirror and don't even see their own image. Enemies. of the cross, and I see it happen. I'm a pastor, and I know the truth. What is the truth? I know the Word of God. You know the Word of God, but I've seen cases, clear cases, clear, simple, A, B, C. I mean, Judge Judy could discern it. Easy stuff. Of behavior, unbecoming believers. What do you mean? What does the Bible say? Is this a rebuke? No, this is not a rebuke. This is the Word of God to help us overcome. We've got to check ourselves because God wants to do something, and He is exposing the things that hold us back and hold us down. And many times Christians fail to realize because they're always wanting to blame somebody else instead of confronting themselves. We have broken the power of the devil. And people say, well, why didn't we pray and we try to get that devil broken and the devil just won't go? And the devil just won't go. Well, you ever heard the story? There are some people you need to pray, devil, come out of that man. Devil, come out of that man. Devil, come out of that man. Well, sometimes you need to say, man, get off of that devil. I would rather wrestle a devil any day, do you hear me, than flesh. Than flesh. Because flesh has a will. And we've learned the demonic. It's easy to see the demonic if it growls, demonic. You can tell the demonic. But we also need to be able to discern human flesh. The enemy in others, and learn to watch it. And the only way we can watch it is by the Word of God. And many people want to judge human flesh like we judge spirits. We want to discern it. Listen, you don't need to have your discerner on when the Word of God already exposes that. There is something about the demonic where we have a spirit of discernment on the inside of us. How do you want to go forward in God? I want to go forward in God, and I want to complete what God told me to complete. And in order to do that, we've got to have times like this right now so that we can walk in it, so that we can walk in unity, amen, and we can walk in peace, and so that we would know. Now listen, this is one of the things you catch. We can get so caught up. How many got the gift of discernment? The gift of discernment. We need to be cautious in this area. Because there are certain people, and I can get caught up in this as well, and we can miss it. We can miss it. We have to judge. Your discernment must match the Word of God. Your discernment must match the Word of God. And it must produce the Word of God. What do you mean by that, Pastor? That means the thing that you discern, or that gift of discernment that God has given you, will produce what? The fruit of the Spirit. If you've got a gift and it's from Jesus, and it's from the Holy Ghost, that gift, if I discern something negative in this brother, my discernment would bring about the positive. That means that God is working. Not unless that individual is meant to harm you or to put you in danger and the Holy Ghost is telling you to run and get away. And most of the time, let me tell you something, most of the time when the Holy Ghost is trying to get you to get away from somebody, He won't use discernment. He'll just tell you. And you don't know why. Because He didn't. Many times when we have discerned things, we become connected with what we discern. And we're always worried about it. We're always thinking about it. So we're never really released. When God wants to release you from something, you've got to follow the voice of the Holy Ghost and just release and go. That way you can be completely free. But if God's going to move in the area of discernment, or in the spirit of discernment, that gift that I'm operating in is going to bring about the fruit of change. That means God's ready to move. I have never been shocked. I have never been scared. And it's always produced something. I was at a prayer meeting once. And in the prayer meeting, I had a friend there. And there was another woman there. And we were all praying in the prayer meeting. And all of a sudden, we were looking around. And I looked across the room, and I saw the word like somebody had taken a big rubber stamp, sin, and stamped somebody's forehead. And I was stupid because I didn't know. Nobody taught us how to flow in it. Anybody been there before? Well, it's innocent, but you just don't know what you got to do. So he hit. I saw a stamp on one of my friend's forehead, who was a good Christian man, would never do anything wrong. I saw sin on his forehead. And over here, I saw sin on this woman's forehead across the room. I didn't know what it meant, so I just brought it up. I said, you got sin stamped on your forehead, and you got sin stamped on your forehead. Started to cry. That woman was married, and she was after that man. And nobody would have ever known it. The gift will bring about what? The fruit that God wants to come about in. Amen? See, the enemy will bind us. It's settled. It's settled. As far, if you're in my life, guess what? It's settled. You're called to walk with me, and I'm called to walk with you. I don't have to get mystic or bizarre to walk with you. And there are people that flow in that arena. They can't judge by fruit. We have to get out there. Have a wonderful service. Two people, this is what it's like for pastor. After service. Four will come and say, man, the anointing, so heavy and so strong. And I'm thinking, boy, that was really terrible. I hated that. I can't stay. I didn't like that service myself. But three over here said that changed my life. And boy, was it anointing. And one over there goes, there was just a spirit. I just don't know what it is. I just can't discern it. Immaturity. First of all, God didn't call us to connoisseur worship experiences. He called you to worship God. What's it going to bring about? What fruit is that going to bring about? What good is it going to accomplish? And what does it make people think? That means that the next worship experience that you go into, instead of you thinking about God, you're out in space someplace. What's going on? I've got to get deep. No, we're not trying to get deep. We're thinking about Jesus. That's not hard. You don't have to be deep to do that. It doesn't take a big spiritual move to do that. You just got to want to do it. We can make things so much more complex than it has to be. The third enemy. Want to make extra steps and we want to get bizarre. Well, we're not going to get bizarre. Very few times do I flow like that. Very few times do I even flow like that. But if you get together, don't connoisseur people. Don't discern somebody's stuff and talk to everybody else about the stuff you discern other than the person you discerned it on. That is not God. The fruit of that is the devil. That's not called moving in the gifts of the Spirit. That's called moving in strife. And the Bible says that that brings about every evil work. And when that flows, you know what happens? People will sit up there and you look at people and you don't know why they're looking at you funny. Where's the love that used to be there? Where's the feeling somebody tell you, you know, somebody would tell me something about you, and that's not God's will. When you walk in that door, I need to be happy to see you and enjoy to see you. But if somebody runs you down or tells you what you did to me or what I did to you or something, I'm not going to be able to flow like that. So you can tell the fruit is obvious. If your ministry causes people to divide and to separate, not to love, and not to care, it is not God. It is the evil work of the enemy. Amen? We know a tree by the fruit it bears. That is the third and most wicked enemy that Jesus had to deal with. And that was the spirit of the true Pharisee. Every time Jesus ministered, after the meeting was all over, they discussed among themselves what he did wrong. He was flowing one way. He said, no, that's the devil. What? We can find it here. We don't even find Jesus in his ministry. Now, Jesus told them what he was preaching about. He expounded the preaching after the meeting was over, but they did not go back over and discern what spirits were there and all that stuff. When we find it here, when we find it in the Word, then we can flow in it in the natural. Why do we talk and teach these things right now? Because we are a body and we are a church, and God wants to do something. God wants to do something. Not me. Can I tell you what? I don't have a choice. Do you really see that? I don't have a choice about what the Holy Ghost wants to do. Because I've been baptized. See, I've been baptized. I've been baptized. The things that I want to do, listen. The things that I want to do, I don't do. I die daily. You die daily. God wants to move by his Spirit, and we've got to learn to flow together and learn to discern every one of our enemies, the enemy in ourselves. When the devil is in demonic manifestation, we need to learn to discern that and flow in it. How do you know whether it's a devil that you're dealing with? Most of the time when I see a devil, it makes me stop and think twice. It makes me hold on tighter. Because people do get demonically oppressed. And it's out there. And they can't handle it and they can't control it. So God will give you grace to get that person free. The other stuff I watch out for. I watch and guard myself about being out there in bizarre stuff that hinder me. Because you can miss God, and I've missed God so many times doing that, and I don't want you doing anybody. And I don't want you to get into that. Amen? Judge it by the Word of God. Isn't it easy to judge things by the Word of God? Are y'all glad I'm talking about this tonight? Is anybody glad I'm talking about this? Are you glad we're learning about this? Churches fall apart because people don't teach basic, common things. And we can work, and we can pray. And we can cast out devils, amen, and we can preach, and we can teach, and we can teach. But if we, that's why Paul constantly taught, don't devour ye one another. Why? Because whatever you build, you're going to tear it apart. Don't do that. Why are we teaching this? Because I don't want my life to be in vain. And I don't want your life to be in vain. We have to. Every single last time this ministry has gone through seasons. It would go through seasons. A word would go forth. There'd be a growth spurt, then a cut back. A growth spurt, a cut back. Growth spurt, cut back. I'm saying, Lord, what in the world is this? And I see it right here in the Word. I see it right there in the Word. The third enemy. People flowing in the flesh and calling it the Holy Ghost. Even when the Scripture, how do you know whether something's the flesh or the Holy Ghost? Most people think this. If somebody gets up there, now we've learned this. Woo, hallelujah, glory. And if I'm over emotional and they don't feel a goosebump on their back, they call what I'm doing the flesh or what somebody else is doing the flesh. Oh, that wasn't the Spirit of God. They were just pushing people down. They're not really feeling anything. That's just the flesh. You thinking those thoughts is the flesh. The flesh is walking about in yourself. You doing stuff that doesn't match up with this and expecting it to bring about results. And it's not bringing about the results that God wants it to bring about. Can we do something as a family? Can we do something as a family and honestly? Can we be truthful and walk in integrity with one another? Can we do that? You know, how can we walk in integrity with one another? We got to believe in one another. We got to believe in one another. We must believe in one another. And if we're going to believe in one another, this is how we walk in integrity and walk in truth. We believe that I got to believe that you love the Lord Jesus Christ with all of your heart, with all of your soul, all your mind. You're going to try to go for God. The Bible tells us to believe the best about everybody. Yes. Refuse to believe the negative. Right. And love each other. Yes. Listen. If I'm sitting at my desk and I hear something, I get all upset about what I hear and I want to come out against somebody, you know what's flowing through me? The devil, the flesh. And God will never move that way. I don't care how supernatural I get. I don't have people fall on the floor. I don't care how good the worship music is. Amen. Flesh. We can tell we grow up when you say, I don't care who does what to me. I don't care what, I'm not even going to protect myself anymore. You can drop, when you know when you really develop a faith in God, and safety is when you can drop your defenses and not worry about it. And you can trust and love everybody around you. And you're walking as you're trying to convince people, you know what, I love you and I care about you. And anything that would make you think that I don't love you is the flesh. That's why we try to live transparently in this body. I want to know the worst. You don't have to put on any show. Anybody that knows Pastor Ron, anybody that knows me, you can be real. I'm not going to love you any less, amen, if you're the Mother Teresa. And if you've been drinking under the bridge on the other side, God didn't call me to judge you. He called me to love you. And that's a thing between me and Jesus Christ. And that's the way that we need to live. And we can free ourselves. Love everybody. Judge nobody. We spend more time in judgment than in the spirit of the Holy Ghost. And the real spirit of the anointing of Jesus Christ is the spirit of love. And can I tell you something? I'm just learning about it. The last month. And you think, you didn't know that? Well, you didn't teach it to me, so you must not have known it either. I'm just learning about that. And we're growing in it, and it changes us. Number one enemy is we crucify ourselves. And everybody will be at different points and with different enemies at all times. I've never been without an enemy. But we got to realize who our true enemy is. And you need to discern what enemy you're facing. If something's going to come against you, it's going to be yourself. Something you need to die to. And I tell you what. A good way to win a battle is to get rid of them all. Die to it. Die to yourself. Rebuke the devil. And you know how you rebuke the devil? You don't wait to see if the devil leaves. You just tell the devil to flee and leave it alone and walk on. You never fight a devil. You talk to it and go. And then you walk in relationship. And you walk in the love of the Holy Ghost. And in the love of God, and you never let anything proceed out of your mouth. The third enemy is not spiritually discerned. It's common sense according to the Word of God. Because there's so many of us that we can get so spiritual that we get licensed to do whatever we want to. And we can be flowing in all kind of stuff and we call it God. Let's kill that third enemy. You know what? If it takes us to act like Catholics to do it, let's do it. Because some churches you go to, they can do the easiest thing. Just be nice. Don't talk about anybody. Amen? That's a heavy weight. I don't want to be in a church where the Holy Ghost is in strong manifestation, and the Holy Ghost is so big, and the power of God so big, and it doesn't, and we can't kill any of our little enemies.
Praise you, Lord Jesus. We bless your holy name. Bless you, Jesus.
You've been listening to Pastor Rod Counselor. It is our prayer that this message has been a blessing to you. You can receive other inspirational teachings from Pastor Rod by contacting Rod Counselor Ministries at 1-800-298-4333. You can also join us at Nations Church in The Woodlands, Texas.